Jesus, as we consider your written word, help us to know you better and follow you more closely. Amen. Hello everybody, nice to see you. So last week we had wheat and weeds, and this week we have good and bad fish. What happens if you store fish that is off with fresh fish? It spreads the smell and decay to the fresh fish, right? And have you smelt fish that is off? Pretty horrible. And then none of them are fit to eat. All are spoiled. So quite rightly in this parable, the fishermen separate them out and throw the rotten fish away. They keep the fresh fish to eat or sell. Jesus explains that this is a metaphor for the judgment that is talked about in the Bible. He says that at the judgment, the wicked will be separated from the righteous and thrown into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Always reminds me of Gnasher in the Beano. I don't know if you're old enough to remember him. He was a little dog with big teeth. He gnashed them. Some have taken this passage to be talking about hell. I've pondered this quite a lot. My favourite gospel is John. This was written a good while after the other gospels. And some Bible writers believe that John had time to ponder what had happened and reflect with insight and Holy Spirit guidance on what happened and what Jesus taught. And in the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus talked a lot about right living or righteousness. He said he did not come to condemn people, but to save them. He does not mention the afterlife in John. It wasn't his main concern. He certainly doesn't mention conscious eternal torment. We use the creeds in many of our services. But the creeds do not mention hell. And Gregory of Nyssa, I don't know how you pronounce a lot of these words, famous for being an abolitionist re-slavery, a proponent of the Trinity, and a driving force behind the Nicene Creed, was against conscious eternal torment. Conscious eternal torment was a more modern invention, and has been challenged and rejected by diverse groups, such as Franciscan Anglicans and Catholics, Orthodox Christians, Progressive Christians, and even Jehovah's Witnesses, which was a surprise to me. If you want to look into it more, you can read Love Wins by Rob Bell, a progressive. That book poses questions about what the Bible actually says and ponders what it means. Another book by Brad Jerzak, who's an Orthodox Christian, called Her Gates Will Never Shut, attempts to answer those questions. I don't remember ever hearing a sermon about hell at Gussie's. I'm glad about that. We're not that sort of church. But we need to provide reassurance sometimes, because people ponder and worry. Today's passage is about judgment, though, not hell, whatever it might sound like. Neither Rob Bell nor Brad Jerzak rejects the idea of judgment. Judgment is part of our scriptures and our creeds. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about selfishness and cruelty and injustice in your life today? If we long for a world where nobody is hungry or homeless, where no one is sick or sad, where cruelty and laughter at the expense of others does not exist, where terrorism and murder are no more, where we can trust people to speak the truth and keep their word, then what is to be done? Those others must be dealt with, surely. I think that's where the idea of hell came from what we want done to others who do wrong. We want God to deal with them, to punish them, to banish them from our world, much like the fish who were sick and died in the water and went bad. We want to dispose of them. Yet the reason many theologians reject the idea of conscious eternal torment is that Jesus didn't come over as a punisher, did he? He was kind and merciful, and even forgave those who killed him. He healed sick people and raised them from the dead. We want Jesus to be like that with us when it comes to our own defects of character and wrongdoing. So what's it all about? I think judgment is about bringing about a situation where people are brought face to face with the consequences of their sin. So they must look full in the face of its ugliness. Through this they can reflect on their actions and be changed on the inside so that their motivations shift. Some of that happens in this world, like in the story of the prodigal son's trip to the pig pen. Restorative justice systems, like South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Courts, and groups that work in UK prisons, bringing wrongdoers together with people they hurt to bring about inner change and healing on both sides. It takes a lot of courage. Is it too much of a stretch to imagine that the great physician would heal us all in this way, as part of the judgment? Some have suggested a sort of cosmic car wash that magically instantly washes us clean when we enter the afterlife. But I think something more gradual might happen. It has been likened elsewhere in the scriptures to refiner's fire or launderer's soap. So given that Jesus was in the habit of using prophetic imagery and used other pictures like those, as well as the burning furnace, I don't think he was really suggesting in this parable that people would be thrown into an actual furnace, but rather at the judgment, all of our sin would be worked on, so we could see its ugliness and desire inner change, so that we would be fit for eternity together, with the rivers of living water running through us. The last book of the Bible has a lovely vision of a forever life, eventually, where there is no pain or death or evil anymore. In this world, everyone will recognise Jesus as Lord, and his way as the only way to live a perfectly happy, fulfilled and loving life. So I figure this process will be successful. The takeaway I would like you to wrap up and bring home like fish and chips is to ponder the one who will come, the one who will come again to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Who is Jesus to you? Do you trust him to know what matters need dealing with in you and put them right? Do you trust him to put others right when you have failed to control them and they don't want to change? And can you imagine a world after the judgment when everything is perfect but not a bit boring? something to ponder in your prayer life. I hope it brings you meaning. Amen.